I had woke up, I had a dream, and I don't even remember what the dream was. All I know was he said, "Zeal." And I said, "Zeal." And it was like early in the morning. I know what zeal is. Everybody know what zeal is, but you know when you sleep, and you be like, let me get the dictionary to see what this is, because I can't think right now. So, so I looked up the definition for zeal, and it says great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or object. Or it could be stated like enthusiasm for anything could be called zeal, like enthusiasm for sports, enthusiasm for bands, for artists, all of that. That's considered zeal, you know, for social justice cause, animal care, people be abusing animals, you know, I don't like that. So I'm like, hey, what y'all doing? I'm about to call on y'all, you know, for animals, you know, I'll be telling people about that. That's a zeal because I'm enthusiastic about it. Others could be jobs, you know. I know some of us probably ain't enthusiastic about our job, but I am. I'm glad I got one. Thank you, Jesus, for my job. So just enthusiasm is a zeal. And so while I'm, like, looking at this definition and stuff, and I'm, like, reading it, and I'm just like, man, I don't got no zeal right now because I had just got woken up. And he's literally telling me, like, you know, zeal for me. And so, and I'm like, I was a little upset because, you know, it's 2:30 in the morning. And I was like, oh, I'm tired. I just want to sleep. And I'm just going to sleep. And he brought it to my memory. When I go to work and I be working hard at work and stuff, and then I go home and take my shower and whatever and get ready for bed, I get happy. I get a big smile on my face. I get in my bed and I be like, yes, oh, I'm about to go to sleep. And he was like, that's a zeal. You got a zeal for sleep. I woke up right then. I was like, I'm up. We up, God. So I was like, okay, God, what do you want to tell me about zeal? So he said, Elijah. I said, Elijah. I know Elijah, you know. But I didn't think of zeal with Elijah. And so he took me there. So, if you guys know, first, I just want to thank God for his compassion, too, because when we be lacking zeal, he still loves us. His zeal is still for us. Like, he's excited about us, you know? And so, I just want to thank him for that. But, he took me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17 through 19 is the story of Elijah, like, the Elijah story. When I was reading 17 through 19, I literally like was just looking at Elijah, like how he was, like I was like, okay, zeal and Elijah. Let me see how Elijah has zeal. So I was reading it and I was just like, man, y'all know what's crazy? I was like, how Elijah lived his life, God was like, this is zeal for me. How he lived his life is zeal. And I was like, how did he do that? It was simple. It was so simple, y'all. He said, this is what he did. He just obeyed. He just obeyed the word of God. Literally, the word of God. Every time God would come to him and tell him to do something, he'd get up and do it. So, if y'all know the story, Elijah was, in Elijah's time, Israel was like divided by that time because it was after Solomon. And Solomon had a zeal for the Lord as well, but he lost it because of his love for women. It overtook his love for God. And so he had a zeal for women and not God. And so he lost the zeal for God. And so that, for him as a leader, as the king of Israel, losing the zeal, it divided Israel. And so Israel was not, I mean, they was already, you know, already not right, like us. We already not right. But when leadership ain't right, it's no right. It sure ain't right when leadership ain't right. And so when this is what Elijah was dealing with. They were divided. So he had to deal with people disrespecting God constantly, blatantly mocking him. God's own people mocking him, worshiping other idols. And so He had to deal with that. He had to deal with the king of Israel, who was Ahab, who was married to Jezebel. Like, how? How did that happen? Jezebel, the one who was killing the prophets, God's prophets, you married her? Like, how? But he wasn't following God. He was doing evil. Said Ahab was the most evil one. Like, he did the most worst to make God mad in the Bible. And as a king, it's like he was the one that was just like, he did whatever he can do to make God angry because he wasn't following God. And so this is what Elijah had to do. Elijah had to deal with all of this. And he's a prophet of God, following God. But he did not lose his zeal, which was weird. There is a part where he did get discouraged towards the end, but God refreshed. Yes, he refreshed him. But when he had to challenge, when he had to go up against it, he didn't lose his zeal. So I'm going to read Ezekiel 17, 1 through 5. Oh, no, not Ezekiel, sorry. I'm going to read 1 Kings 17, 1 through 5. And it says, and Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants. Okay, I'm reading from the New King James Version. So, that's yes. So it says, and Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here, turn eastward, and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. So by obeying and listening to God's word, he was protected. And he was free, and he was fed. And he got water during drought, like from a brook. And it was a drought. So when we obey and when we listen to God, he protects us and he feeds us. And so I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So he rose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. So here Elijah went to the widow's house, and he went to the widow, and he followed instructions, and he was fed. He got water, but not only him, because he obeyed, but the widow and her son got blessed because he obeyed the word. Whatever God told him to do, he did it. And God got the glory, which was what Elijah's zeal was all about. He's like, I ain't finna be talking about my God. I'm tired of y'all doing this and this. Nope. I'm gonna give you the word of the Lord. I'm gonna give you the word of the Lord. I'm gonna give you the word of the Lord. And this is what it is. And he stuck by it, and he stood by God. Whatever God's, he didn't say just whatever. He said what God told him to say. And he did what God told him to do. And so when we do that, we not only get blessed, God is glorified, and everybody else is blessed. Verse 24, the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. When I read that, I was like, what words is in my mouth? Like, I know it's different, but it's literally like, is the word of the Lord, is his words in your mouth? Like, when you speak, do they come out? Like, are they inside? Because whatever comes out is in your heart. So when we hide the word of God in our heart, that's what's supposed to come out, right? So God was getting me right there, because he was like, yo, you want zeal for me? My word. That's the only thing you need is my word. This is where I talk to you. This is where I feed you. You get everything from here, from this word. So, what follows when you speak, what words come out your mouth, you know, just something to think about, you know. I had to think about it, so I'm just sharing. All right, so we got Elijah. He's dealing with, you know, Ahab and Jezebel. In 18, this is where we have the victory at Mount Carmel, where he goes up against the prophets of Baal, the false prophets. You know, they be trying to say they prophets and they not. You know, they try to take everything. That's what happens when what the devil do. He try to take what God has and like try to like, look, this is my prophets. Because you got God's prophets, then you got Satan's prophets. There ain't no other one. It's either God or Satan. So if you either listening to God, then you listen to God. If you ain't listening to God, who you listening to? Because if it ain't God, it's only one other spirit that you can listen to. So Elijah listened to the voice of the Lord. He listened to God. So here, he is going up against the prophets of Baal, the false prophets of Baal, whatever. And these people had 450. Baal had 450, and then it was, what's the word, Asherah? Asherah had 400. So he's going up against 850. One person. He didn't even think about himself. He was like, bro, this is God. Like, y'all going up against God. Y'all ain't going against me. Y'all going against God. That's because his mindset was always on God. When we're going up against somebody like, you know, we could go against two people that just hate God at our jobs or at school, or you got a group of friends, you know, and you like, oh, they know you like Jesus. And then you come around and they got something to say. And you either going to get fear, you're going to have fear, or you're going to let God do it. The only way you can let God do it is you got to hear him. Only way you can hear him is if you're reading his word and listening to him. So Elijah knew, because he was so close to God, he knew what to do. He didn't have no fear because he already know who God is. He's experienced God. He's talking and walking with God all the time. They like this. I can't do it, you know. But they close. They close. And that's what we can see from Elijah. We can see that even though it don't say Elijah loved God, Elijah was man after God's own heart, Elijah served the Lord willingly, all this, even though we don't see that in the Bible, don't say it, you see it in his actions. You see it in how his faith is. Like when he comes up against the challenges, he's just like, oh, God got it. Let me show you what my God can do. All right, God, here it is. Here's this. So he's like, no, I'm going to let y'all go first and do y'all thing. So he told the prophets of Baal, and he told the prophets of Asherah, and he was like, go ahead and try to call them and see if they answer. And then he mocked them too, because they was mocking our God. So he mocked them. And he was like, they was crying and they was praying and prophesying and all this other stuff and trying to get the God to answer, their gods to answer. And Baal was doing nothing because he ain't there, you know, he's not even there. And so they was like, he was like, go ahead, cry louder. Sing, do whatever you're going to do. Dance, do whatever. And they was cutting themselves and everything, trying to get them to answer. And it wasn't working. And he said, okay, this is what we're going to do. He brought everybody. Elijah brought everybody. He said, y'all little Baal prophets, come on. Israel, come on. And look what God is finna do. Because he was talking to Israel. So he wasn't just doing it to you know, he was defending God, but God was also defending himself and showing himself to his people. So he went and he was like, hey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to get 12 stones. That's already that's a sign for Israel. 12 stones. That's them. That's them. This is their God that's going to do this. So he's reminding them. And he's like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to dig a trench around this. And it was like, a deep trench that can hold like 3 gallons of water that he put down. Then he made them drink. He got the ox on there and he made the sacrifice. And then he was like, pour the water on it. He said, they poured the buckets of water on it. He said, pour it again. They poured it a second time. He said, pour it again. They poured it a third time. So the thing was drenched up. Mind you, they didn't have no water on theirs. They didn't have nothing. It was dry. So if it was going to be a spark or something that was going to happen, it should have happened, but it didn't. And so he was like, all Elijah did, this is what he said. Verses 36, he said, in 36 through 37, he said, and it came to pass at the time of offering of the evening sacrifice. They've been trying to do this all day. At the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. Verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Everything. Because God was like, I am the only true God. I am your God. So when I look at this, and I look at my zeal, and I look at Elijah's, I'm like, man, I got a ways to go. Like, being honest, like, I don't know if I could have stood up against 850 people. Knowing that this is the girl who's been killing the Lord's prophets. This is her people that's going up against me. So if something happens, I'm going to die. You know? I'm going to die. But Elijah wasn't even worried about himself. So that's another thing, the zeal for my own self that God showed me. Sometimes it's more than the zeal for him, because I'd rather do what I want to do versus stepping out in faith and doing what he told me to do, being obedient. Who am I to argue with God? He told me to do something, go do it. This is the master of the universe. I got his breath in my body. And I'm going to tell him no. But he's compassionate even when I do things like that. Even when I say no, he gives me grace. Even when I'm like, I'm too scared, I can't do it right now, can I do it later? Just a little bit. He's like, here's some grace. So the zeal of Elijah, the passion of Elijah, was for all to know the one true God. That should be our zeal. It's for all to know the one true God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to keep the covenant and to love him. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Everywhere. All the time. All the time. You should always have God. Everywhere, all the time. Talking to him, his word. Everywhere, all the time. So, Israel went from that, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, to 1 Kings 17, 21. Which says, no, sorry, 18:21. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people didn't even say nothing to him. They didn't answer him when he said that. So how long will your love waver? For us, it's love, because we follow Jesus. We belong to Jesus. We trust Jesus. He's our Savior, our King, and our Redeemer. Us is love. How long are we going to falter in our love for him? Because now this is a choice for us. When you don't have Jesus, it's not a choice. You don't even know. You can't follow him, because Elijah only did what God told him to do and empowered. Elijah didn't do it in his own strength. Elijah can't call no fire from heaven. He can't bring the fire from heaven. Who brought the fire from heaven? Yes. Yes. He brought the fire from heaven. There's no way a person could do that. Only God can do it. So now we have to choose whether I'm going to love myself, my zeal for myself, my love for myself is going to overpower God, or God, my love for God is going to overpower my zeal for myself. The only way to do that is Matthew 19:26. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. So when I was reading this, and I was just thinking about it, the state of Israel and just Kings, in the whole Bible, actually. But, you know, just when I'm reading Kings and they were wavering and stuff and they were serving other gods and they were doing what they wanted to do between opinions and stuff like that, everybody got opinions. It's just the Bible for us. It's just God's word. It's just the word of God. But they in between opinions and stuff. It's the same state that the world's in right now. Like, God showed me, like, this is what the world is in right now. All different opinions. All what everybody want to do. All what I feel like doing. There's no listening to God's word. There's no want to listen to God's word. I sometimes don't want to read it. I don't want to. Sometimes I be in my feelings and I be like, I don't want to do nothing. I just want to be here and wallow, wallow, wallow. Which Elijah did the same thing too. But what did God do? How did Elijah get out? God fed him. How do we eat? We eat the word. God fed Elijah. Elijah got strengthened. And then he got strengthened enough to go to journey for 40 days and 40 nights. And y'all know where he went? To the same mountain that Moses went. When Moses went up there to talk to God. This is where Elijah went. So he went on a journey just to go meet God. To get strengthened. To get encouraged. When we don't gotta go 40 days and 40 nights. It's right here. It's literally right. He's literally right here. So, Jesus took me. I said, God, how can I apply this to myself today? Which he'd been saying through the whole time, like reading his word. But he showed me in the New Testament how Jesus himself was talking to his disciples. So he was talking to, I think this is in, yes, in 19. He was talking to the rich young ruler. And the disciples were like, you know, right there. You know, they was with him. Everywhere Jesus went, they was right there. Jesus was always eating too, by the way, just to let you know. This man was eating. And whatever he ate, he gave to his disciples. And they was eating. So whatever when they was eating is good. They was eating and he was giving them physical food and spiritual food. He was teaching. And feeding. So, yeah, if y'all hungry or something, you know, just get a snack and open this, you know. And that way, you know, everything could be good. Everything, your spirit and your body. But anyway, so he was talking to them about the young ruler and the rich young ruler. And the ruler was like, hey, what do I have to do to get eternal life? And he was like, he said, hey, what do I have to do? Good teacher, what do I have to do? And then Jesus was like, why do you say I'm good? There's only one that's good. He's talking about God. And he was like, well, just keep the commandments. He said, which ones? So Jesus started naming the commandments. He was like, oh, yeah, I do that. He said, oh, okay. Well, then go sell everything you got. And then give your money to the poor. And then come follow me. And then the young ruler got sad. And he just walked away. He was sad and walked away. I got sad reading it. And I was like, oh, no. You know, I was like, no. But sometimes when Jesus tells us to give up some stuff, we kind of get sad and walk away too. But we don't realize it spiritually. It's spiritual with us because we are with Jesus. So when he tells us to do something spiritually and we don't do it, we're spiritually getting sad and walking away. Because we don't want to let whatever it is go. And so Jesus told his disciples, the disciples was like, well, Jesus was like, hey, so you see how he walked away? It's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than a rich man to get in heaven. And Solomon, and you know, his disciples like, well, who gonna get into heaven then? You know, he seems like he's a good person. I'm paraphrasing. He seems like he's a good person, you know. He followed the rules, all this other stuff. Who can make it to heaven? And then God was like, with men, not possible. Everything is possible with God. And so in Matthew 6:21, it says, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So, hit the wheel. So, the young ruler, his heart was with his money, his possessions. My heart is my little nephew. I don't have any kids, but you know, I'm pretty sure parents, their hearts are their kids. You know, sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it's kind of hard to like turn them loose all the way. Like you could turn them loose, you can pray for them all day, but then it's just like when they want to do what they want to do, then it's like you got to let go all the way, let go, and trust God with them. I don't know how that is because I don't have any kids, but I have dogs. So sometimes when my dogs get hurt, I'm like, Jesus, please protect my babies. I don't want nothing to happen to them. So, but yeah, so the young rich ruler, his heart was with his possessions. Where is your heart? My heart is with, sometimes my heart is with my own desires sometimes. Like finishing school. I still be trying. But God be like, I want you to do this. Bro, I'm trying to tell you, I want you to do this, girl. Listen to me. And he's compassionate and gives me grace. And so we know that, like, even like when I'm like, whatever I'm spending my time on, or whatever, I'm learning languages right now. Sometimes I might recite some vocabulary, probably about like 50 times a day, just so I can get it. Just so I can just, when I hear it, right? When I hear it, I know what it is. Should be the same way with the word for me. For me, I'm speaking personally for myself because that's how I study. I'll say it over and over and over and over till I get it, until I got it ingrained in me. So Jesus was showing me, hey, doing that with the study and them languages, my word, it'll get you some scriptures, girl. You know? So, yes. So this is a hard lesson for me this morning. Just a little. But I'm grateful for it because his zeal is on me. His zeal is on all of us. And it's up to us. Well, not us. It's up to our faith in Jesus for it to grow. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the word of God. What is the word of God? What is the good news? Hearing the good news about God. What is that? Does anybody know what it is? Yes. Jesus, come on, say his name. You don't got to be scared to say his name. You can shout it from the rooftops, mountaintops. Yes, Jesus. So we know Romans 10:9-10 says, for you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. Romans 10:13 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So when we hear the word of God, faith comes from hearing the word of God. We got to realize, who is the word? Y'all know who the word is? Jesus. Thank you. Say his name. It says John 1:1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. John 1:14. He became flesh, made his dwelling place among us. So that is Jesus. Jesus is the word. So even though like God was telling me all this, he was showing me all this and stuff, he was also letting me know, hey, this is good knowledge for you. if you take it as knowledge, but you gotta apply it with Jesus so that it just don't be knowledge. Or you can be like Israel, or you can be like anybody else who thinks they're doing what God wants them to do and they're not. So he told me, get my paper. Misdirected zeal is dangerous. So you got a zeal for God. But if you're just doing stuff on your own and you're saying it's for God, it's misdirected. If God didn't tell you to do it, even though it's good, if he didn't tell you to do it, it's not obedience. You can have a zeal for it. Paul was zealous for God. He thought he was doing the right thing. He was persecuting Christians. He was doing it in the name of God. And it's misdirected. And God stepped in and told him. And he turned around. And God gave him the right zeal. So when we're doing stuff that we think is God, how am I trying to say this, Lord? When we're doing it if we think it's God and we're doing it, he didn't tell us to do it, it's misdirected. And it's, if God didn't tell us to do it, somebody told you to do it. It's another person. Because Satan, Miss Me, always tell me he comes as an angel of light. It can sound good, but it's not truth. It's a lie. And so if he tells me, hey, do this for this person, blah, 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 I could be stepping in when God is trying to do something else, and I could be like messing it up or delaying something because God didn't tell me to do it. So our thing is to make sure that we are moving in faith. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. That's the only way we have to move is through faith. Only way we can move is when we hear the word of God. Only way we can hear the word of God is if we're in his word. That's the only way. And we can discern it because of his spirit in us. His spirit is going to confirm his word. And his spirit is going to check something that's not his word. And the only way we can do that is if he's filling us. So John 17, let me go to this. This got me excited because I don't have to try to be full of zeal because he does it. God fills me with his spirit. The more that I walk in him and in his word and listen to him, the more that zeal is going to come up. It's not me making something happen. The disciples, when they walked with Jesus, he was teaching them. Even while he was teaching them, they didn't understand stuff. After he went and after he said and then it happened, they was like, oh, he said that was going to happen. And their faith was getting built right there because he said it and it happened. He said it and he did it and they saw it. And so with us, we have the same thing. Even if we don't see some of this stuff in here, we can believe and trust God because he said he don't lie. So we either trust him, like Elijah said to Israel, either you going to follow God or you going to follow somebody else. So either we going to love God or we going to love somebody else. Because if you follow him, you love him. Mr. David always said it all the time. If you love him, you're going to obey his commandments. You're going to follow him. You're going to walk in his ways. So John 17, when Jesus was praying, he prayed for us. 17:15, he says, and even though he said he's praying for his disciples here, I take this for me too. Because he's praying for all believers. I'm a disciple of Jesus. So 17:15, he says he don't pray that he should. He says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you shall keep them from the evil one. I don't have to worry about going the wrong way if I'm always with Jesus. Because the devil can't get me. He can do whatever he wants, but God is keeping me. if God keeps me, nobody can do nothing to me. They can hurt this body, but we can't take this with us when we go in. So what am I storing up treasures for, here or for heaven? And it ain't even treasures. I just want to see the one who died for me. To be honest, I really want to see Jesus. I want to be like, hey, that's what you look like. Yo, what's up, Jesus? And then I'll probably fall on the ground. But yes, like, so when we're trying to live for Jesus, we don't have to try we don't have to try to do stuff. Because when we're trying to work at it, it becomes work. We make it harder. It becomes harder. It becomes shameful. It becomes, you know, embarrassing, because we're trying to do stuff for other people without realizing it. But when we are with God all the time, walk on Him, His words before us, behind us, around us, in us, everywhere, all the time, you don't got to worry about our zeal going out or Him, or us not hearing Him and listening to Him, because it's just like He's just doing this all the time. We're just going wherever you go. Stop. Okay. Now go. All right. Go to left. Okay. Stop. Okay. Back it up. Okay. Like that. That's how it is when we're following Jesus. That's exactly how it is. We have to. We got to make sure this is how we're listening, especially now, because people are looking at us. They look into us and they watch. Whether we think it or not, they literally watching us, because they want to see if we're really who we say we are. Then they also want to see if God is really who He says He is. And so if we're not always one-to-one with Jesus like this, we could, you know, show a bad example, like Solomon. That man had all the knowledge. He got the wisdom from God, and he was serving Him and loving Him. He was doing things right. He just loved women, and then they swayed him. If that man that got the wisdom from God can be swayed, who am I? Because ain't nobody going to be like Solomon no more. God said, you're the only one that's going to get this. You're the only one that's going to have this wisdom like this. So if he can be swayed, I got to be careful. And make sure that I'm literally listening to God. We can listen to people, you know, we can listen to people talking. Y'all can listen to me, but you got to get back in here and check it. Check what I'm saying for yourselves. Ask God, hey, reveal this to me. What that mean? Was this right? And if it ain't, come tell me, you know. But I know God don't be just putting me up here. And he, you know, he speaks to me. I hear him. But yeah, so we just got to be careful, and we just got to make sure that we're always following God. And yeah, just don't worry about like how hard you got to work. Just trust. And faith is faith. Faith is the only way we can live this Christian life. It's not what we do. It's what we believe, and we believe Jesus. So when we believe Him, everything else will follow. When we seek in Him, everything else is going to follow. So yeah. That's all I want to say. Let His zeal rest on y'all, and you know, enjoy it, because that's with Him. That's unity with Him. All right, Jesus, we just love you, God. I thank you, God, for speaking, God, to us. I pray, God, that we will remember what you said, God, that we will always be in your word, Lord. I pray that if anybody's zeal is lacking for you, God, myself included, Lord, that you will help us to continue to stay with you and continue to hear from you, to open up your word and to eat and spend time with you and talk to you and learn from you, Lord. I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your compassion. I pray that you just keep us unified as a body. I thank you for my church family. Continue to bless everyone here, Lord. Continue to give them comfort and strength and energy and rest, God, in you. And I just pray that we just trust you with all that we are. And believe in you, God, that you got us, and know that you will keep us. We don't have to work for it, God. We don't have to work to get to you, to get to heaven, God. It's just through faith in Jesus, Lord. We thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for us. And we love you. We love you, love you, love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.